love movies? I certainly do. Hi, Chris Roberts here, inviting you to listen to I Saw It on Linden Street, our weekly podcast dedicated to the joy of finding an appreciation in cult films, exploitation oddities, beloved classics, and all points in between. Join us for an informative deep dive into a film that we feel needs to be recognized, with background thrown in on actors, directors, and hey, if I'm doing my job right, you'll get a funny story out of me. So, join us here at I Saw It on Linden Street and listen today. Remember, folks, life's too short not to live in the past. Take it easy.
This is Videorama, and I am standing on the corpse of my sister because she is a lazy employee and she was not supposed to be here today. And we had a request from a customer that was a little belligerent and a little rude, talking about defecating on lawns and children. And they were wanting a film recommendation for a movie that, well, real life is the nightmare and the movie is more of the escape. So with that in mind, we ran out of great ideas, but had so many tapes around us and decided we needed the help of a good friend who's with us now and brought in their recommendation to help us with this. And I guess I would like to start off by simply saying my name was Donnie, but now
I am evolving into a being that has never existed before.
Oh my god.
And you are Adrian, sir. Tell us your name.
Oh, you just press Chris right over. I see how you be.
Well, I'm giving him the last spot, the best spot.
Oh, okay. I am Howard Phillips Lovecraft, and I have a kitty. Or Adrian.
Oh, and you, sir.
Excellent. I'm Chris Roberts, but I guess for this week, you could say I'm the gingerbread man.
Just like a gingerbread man.
That'll be enough of that.
Bit
and what are we here to talk about today, sir? What did you make us watch?
I brought the great, great Stuart Gordon from Beyond from 1986, which I feel just really kind of captures that fun of alternate dimensions poking their way into our sad and safe little reality with mm-hmm. some marvelous gore effects and some, of course, delightful Barbara Crampton.
Oh, almost as if something's forcing its way into our world.
Listen, can you feel it?
I love this movie so much. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, and you guys had so many good ones lined up. It was really hard to pick, but when I just turned around was like, oh, From Beyond, I at least had to try to throw this out there because it's just such a classic.
Agreed.
Yeah, I got that there. Stuart Gordon, auteur of Castle Freak, King of the Ants, Edmund. Apparently there's something called Reanimator that people know about. Robot Jocks.
Yeah, and I still wonder what it would have been like if he actually had made his version of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It would have been something magical.
At least he got some royalties when they made a terrible sequel to it.
True.
Very true.
On characters created by credit. Yeah.
That works. But I mean, he did get that 3-picture deal from Empire that allowed him to go on and make this, as well as a couple other really amazing films. And I mean, I just find it funny that, like, he wants to make Dagon. He can't make Dagon because Charles Band just can't wrap his mind around it. So he just has to make From Beyond, which to me I love From Beyond, but Dagon's a pretty cut and dry story. From Beyond, the minute we get past the first 20 minutes of the movie, you are out of Lovecraft's story. So this is basically just freewheeling as we go forward.
It's kind of a short one, that one, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And in that one, the name of the fucking Jeffrey Combs character, that's the name of the villain. And, right, and our narrator's unnamed. But they switched it around and they made the villain guy Pretorius, you know. It's fine. It's kind of like when I used to remember names really good. I used to like word good. Yeah. It's when that fucker who wrote I Am Legend would adapt the Poe shit for
Richard Corman, Matheson. You
know? Yeah, Richard Matheson. Yes, yes. Very good. Excellent. Very astute, young man. You'll go far. Yeah. So instead of a short story, it's like, hey, man, I come over to the house like, the fuck? I invented an invention. These shits are coming at you. It's like, oh, man, I best stay out the shadows. You cannot escape. Fuck.
And that's the greatest synopsis of this film we have.
Yeah, you know, lady comes S&M over.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to fill in with some S&M. You got to put something in there, and there's nothing else that fits, you know.
Well, speaking of nothing else fits, this movie was also brought to you by Big Bubba's Bulge. There's nothing like a good cup of Bulgers in the morning.
Thank you for mentioning Ken Foree. Fucking star of Dawn of the Dead and a million other things. And yes, if you love Ken Foree, you'll love seeing all of him. Yes, you get the whole man in this cute little thong, and he has to run downstairs and help Jeffrey Combs fight the monster coming up out of the muck in the basement. And he's got to go back to get the butcher knife. And oh no, he's getting all splashed. Oh no, his undies are getting all see-through. Oh wow.
It was a subtle effect. It was very subtle.
What I love about that scene in general, though, is the concept that we've already proven that Tillingest has told the truth about everything that's gone on upstairs.
Yeah.
The concept that he sees Tillingest running downstairs, the tackle seems totally out of the ordinary and just arbitrary. It's like, we just need an excuse for Ken Foree to really lay out Jeffrey Combs.
Yes.
You know, he's seen some stuff, but it doesn't mean that Jeffrey Combs isn't crazy.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they have a little bit of wrestling there. Yeah.
Just a wee bit as they bounce down the street.
It's Gordon. You're going to see some man bulge, you know. You're going to see tidy whities, you know. You're going to see Stuart Gordon is the one who was once jailed for putting on an all-nude production of Peter Pan.
That's right.
Yes, he was.
Now, for those of you at home, Peter Pan on stage never has children in it. So put your dirty thoughts away, you sickos. It's like the Mikado. Those are all dudes, adult dudes. Everybody's 50. They just put the grease paint over their mustache.
I got to say, I love this movie because it also came out during a time when there was a lot of Lovecraft films being made. I mean, between this, we had what? We had The Uninvited, The Unnamable.
Oh, The Unnamable, yeah.
Dagon.
Oh yeah, a couple years later they did The Resurrected based on the case of Charles Dexter Ward, the second case of Charles Dexter Ward adaptation.
And of course The Reanimator. We don't really get a lot of that today. It's kind of sad.
Awesome. Well, the ones we get now are a little bit more asylum-y, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily dissing the asylum as a whole because they've had their moments. And in the early 80s, you get Fulci with his liberal and special interpretations of Lovecraft and Clark Ashton Smith stories, too. You know, you get City of the Living Dead, which owes a lot to Herbert West reanimated the story, among other things. Just lots of cool stuff. The 80s are fun.
It was. I know.
Sometimes, you know.
We had our moments.
Don't go thinking it's all gold, you know.
Very true.
So who actually wants to tackle the story of this? Because, yeah. How about you, Chris?
I can go.
Hand up.
Horrible beyond conception was the change which had taken place in my best friend, Crawford Tillingest. Oh, you meant the movie. Oh,
yes, I didn't want to interrupt your reading there, but...
dramatic though it was. No, I very much enjoy it.
At the hotel last night, a guest caught me reading and they called me a nerd.
What? For reading?
And because she seen me on a computer earlier too. I think she drove out of the 1990s.
Did you tell them that the written word is not dead?
That would have been a waste of time. Sorry, Chris, go for it.
No, it's quite all right. I'm shocked that people are like, look at him, he's reading. He's up to things. I bet he critical things.
Sand and kicked it in my face. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's the weirdest cover for a Kindle I've ever seen.
How do you scroll? Anyway, well, the plot is fairly straightforward. It's your typical fun mad scientist romp. You have two wonderful scientists that are just hanging out in a drafty old house. You have, first off, Crawford Tillinghast, who is the great Jeffrey Combs. He's been working on the resonator. And, sorry, you're going to hear small dachshunds in the background. So working on this that's supposed to stimulate with its various wavelengths the human pineal gland, allowing you to see beyond into other realities that are, if you're a fan of string theory, you can see that we're all here together. We just can't touch each other. So you might as well be millions of miles apart. Resonator goes off, and of course he gets to see all kinds of fun things. Tooth jellyfish, some very bitey eels, and of course some horrible, horrible large unnamed creature that ends up eating his boss, the sexual deviant Dr. Pretorius. And then we just basically, that's the whole first 20 minutes, and we jump right to putting him into the care of one Dr. Catherine McMichaels, as played by the lovely Barbara Crampton, who decides that instead of listening to the stodgy Dr. Block, who I believe was played by, I'm going to get her name wrong, was it Carolyn Purdy Gordon? She was the wife of Stuart Gordon at the time.
No kidding. Okay.
Yes. So it's like, what better way? I need a hot slab of bitch to come into this scene. Hey, my wife's available. And then just like, here, be our villain for this movie.
Yeah, Brett,
our leads.
So, did I ever tell you my director wife theory? Is that many, most directors will cast their wives, but only the great ones cast their ex-wives. Is that something that Federico Fellini, Orson Welles, Godard also did.
Great company there.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. But McMichaels goes against the work that Block wants to do because they, of course, think that this had to be made at the height of when schizophrenia was just becoming like everybody's favorite bugaboo with the DSM-IV. I think it would have been 4 at the time. I think we're at 6 now. Just everyone would have just said like, oh, schizophrenia, it's just the catch-all for mental illness and craziness. So you get to take him along, and they're going to try to recreate the experiment to prove he's not crazy, or to prove he is crazy, because, of course, he's probably an axe murderer that killed Pretorius. So that's where you get your lovely Ken Foree showing up as, I believe he's Sergeant Bubba Brownlee, who used to play a little pro ball, but now he's just there to make food and show bulges. And they, of course, then spend the rest of the night and the following day summoning various creatures from beyond and then having them, you know, get sort of oozy and very friendly and handsy. And then as time goes on, people get turned on and start to mutate. I don't know. I didn't know how far in the plot you want me to go.
It's just... My God, Dr. Pretorius, what have you become? I've become the movie poster.
I mean, everything has that lovely, like, silly putty element to it. It's so lovely, the viscera. I was happy. I'm going to mess his name up. John Carl, I think you say it Buesler. I think like it's a weird pronunciation. You want to say like Blucher, but it's like Buesler did the makeup itself.
Yeah.
And like he had done like, I think he directed Troll. He basically, if it was an Empire film or a Full Moon picture.
Oh, okay. All right. So he was
in charge of doing the special effects. So he did all the Ghoulies, all of those various incarnations and whatnot. So used to covering a lot of stuff with slime. Used to having some real rubbery effects going on, which really gives it that lovely 80s look for me. But I know, again, it's not a sacred cow, but at least it's a lot of fun to...
Well, that's how shit's supposed to look, that's all. You know, if you don't like it, you know. Well,
as long as it works.
Right. You know. I'm trying to convince the kids these days when they can have digital effects, when it's like, no, 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 look at this rubbery.
Make it all look fake all the time. Yeah, everything, real life. Just put it in HD and make it all look like a making of. That looks way better.
Right.
Yeah.
But
somebody's a bitter old man around here. It's not me, though. No, no.
I wear it on my sleeve. I mean, just everything about it is just so much fun. The mutating of the pineal gland itself, when it starts to actually have an effect.
When you get your gummy Cheeto coming out of the forehead. Yeah.
Well, you do that. My wife always forgets the name of this movie, so the first thing she does is she goes, is that this movie? And just always pulls her
it stands and out, you know.
Yes. And she's like,
that was forehead penis. Good.
Exactly. So
don't worry, it won't hurt.
Yeah, we're not even trying to hide the weird, like, phallic representation at a certain point. It's just
we'll never hide that. No,
it's just constantly popping out at you, looking around and trying to assert itself, which then makes it all the funnier when, you know, Dr. McMichaels, finally to protect herself, ends up biting it off.
Yeah,
my killing guest.
And don't forget, Gordon's an oddity of its own right, but there's also our producer Brian Usna. You know, yes. Who director of Society and The Dentist, very importantly, The Dentist with Corbin Burnson, which is a very fun movie where they made all the giant mouths.
Yes.
You get torrents of pus coming out inside this mouth.
And the screaming. And even the sequel's fun. It's not good.
Oh, the sequel's, you know, fine. It's fine. Yeah. You know, like you're there for the kicks, you know. And for freaking Clint Howard showing up, you know. What you doing, Doc? Don't go in dry.
Oh, my.
But, I mean, just the film itself, everything about it is just, it's so much fun. Yeah. And to think that, I mean, to give props to Lovecraft, I mean, I know he's received many over the years, and my adoration is little and insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but to have a guy that in the 30s is dreaming up the concept of, like, if we make these tuning forks, we can see into worlds beyond ours, and then as soon as you shut it off, it'll go back to being the way it is. Like, it's really revolutionary and a nice way of, like, giving a whole host of 20th century authors a jumping off point. Like, where would we be for, like, Stephen King and other folks, like, as you're getting into this with alternate reality fun, like,
yeah, between really him and, like, Abraham Merritt, like, a lot was come up with. There was a big leap forward with that bunch, you know.
It's just, and it leaves you with a fun feeling at the end of, like, you're not disappointed with the action that you're seeing, and, like, you're getting a pretty satisfying conclusion out of this film when we finally do confront all of our final monster forms,
right. No, but when we were saying earlier during the crazy, not crazy invention debate that this thing starts off with, you reminded me of another movie from the straight-to-video era that was going on back when I worked at Hollywood Video. And there was a movie that came out called The Devil's Chair.
Oh.
Did you see that one, Donnie?
Yeah, I think I know what
you're talking about. So that one starts off, there's a lovely premise where a guy and his girlfriend go into this abandoned building and find this spooky, effed-up chair. It's got skulls on it and stuff. You know, and she sits on it, and there's this little needle inside of the armrest, and she pricks her finger and vanishes, gets sucked into another dimension of monsters. And then a bunch of people go back there to find the chair and try to study it, and people keep getting sucked over there, and they're in the monster dimension, which is another abandoned building, and it's kind of crude CGI, but it's still kind of a neat idea. And then the movie just turns a corner at one point. It's like, oh, no, he's an axe murderer, and he just invented the devil's chair. He just kills people. It's like, so why didn't you just make a gore movie about an axe murderer and stop leading me on with a devil's chair, you assholes? I want to see freaking devil chair monster dimension shit.
Yeah.
You dicks. So that's what I call getting wet down. This movie didn't do that. You know,
no.
From Beyond didn't do that devil's chair.
Dimensional bait and switch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Don't start with something cool and then just drop me, you know.
No, it went for it. It went full hog. And I love it for that. But I still question how nobody cared to listen to him when they were running the experiment again to prove that it worked. And he very explicitly said, do not move whatsoever. You will die. So the first thing that happens is someone moves. And like, hey, you don't move. So somebody else has to move. And he's like, damn it, if you two are moving, I'm going to move now. And then he decides, oh, yeah, by the way, this thing will find you if you move. Could have started with that, but...
Can't see us if we don't move.
Yeah. It's a dimensional T-Rex.
I've got the movie running on the background with no sound, and it's the part where they're in the lab, and it shows the chalk outline of Dr. Pretorius minus the head. That's just awesome.
That poor gingerbread man.
I just love that everyone is like, all right, if things go bad, I will shut off the resonator. And then they proceed to post up a good 10 feet away from the switch at each time.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you put your hand on it the entire way? Like,
you can't even have somebody there like an eye lord put their hand on it. Yeah.
You've always got to sell the drama. It's like, why is it so dark in this laboratory? Like, I don't know, because it's awesomer.
Yeah. If they remade it today, they would have it hooked up to an Alexa, I'm sure.
True. Or they can't seem to run it during the daytime. It only can operate at night.
Yeah. Well, this is you get your Ed Wood touch here, where the house is a miniature. We're always seeing it from a distance. You know, there's very selective focus on it. They're indoors, and it's a prop.
Again, very subtle effect.
Yeah, no, it's nice, you know, like it's again, most of these things, you only really see through them if you like glue your eyeball right up against the screen, be like, hey, wait a second, that's not the guy she came in with.
Now, I'd like to at least point out, not to go totally crass, but I'd like to point out, I do think it's kind of funny that Dr. Pretorius's private chambers is like a sex dungeon as seen by someone who's never actually encountered a sex dungeon, because it's just like a random amalgam of collected things that sort of don't belong together all in the same, you know, five.
It's the pop view of S&M, you know, so you got the airbrush painting in the background, you get the big mirror on the ceiling, you know, like it's all, you know, it's the music video version. Yeah.
Right. Yes. I'm expecting to see now, all of a sudden it's going to turn into like Body Double, and there's going to actually be people doing a Busby Berkeley scene in the middle of supposedly
Wacky Wallace is going to pop up, you know.
It's the VH1 S&M BD room. That's all it was.
But I also just love it. It's like, okay, this is where he brought all his women, and it's like he has a cot. Like, it looks like just an army cot that would be stretched out. It just has some blankets thrown over it. It's like, this seems to be the most
the sex swing that you ever took him over budget.
It's all part of the fantasy. It's cheap. It's like we're in the army and we're doing it. See, it's kinky. Pretorius out.
They drink fine wine. They listen to music, but it would always end with screaming. Screaming.
it's still more cohesive than the pervert palace that was in Jade.
Yeah, yes.
You remember that?
I don't want to remember.
The weird gnarled old man who's like messing up whores, and it's like the least erotic thriller ever made.
How can you say that? He had a collection of their pubic hair in little mint tins. I mean, come on.
Yeah, at that point, Joe Westerhaus is like, what? Do you want me to write more porn? I do one on the crapper.
Bless our hearts.
They tried.
Bless Amy's heart.
Mm. Yes, let's check in with Amy.
Yeah. Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money?
Yeah, where's that money at, even?
Oh, I want my money.
Yeah, I want my money back, money back, money back.
All the general, I want my money.
So about money, for some reason, this one didn't make any. And this is because audiences are a bunch of jerks, and they don't know what the hell they want. And to heck with them. So we're talking about this happened on October 24th of 1986. It cost $4.5 million. You know, you got to pay for those effects some way. And it only brought in the 1.2 million, basically. So this opened at number 13. So 3 movies opened it, opened that week. You know, there were a lot of things in theaters, but the movies that opened that week, the Soul Man, where C. Thomas Howell wears race makeup, that was number 3. And Trick or Treat, with the horror thing with cameos by Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons, that was number 5. Number 1 movie that week was Crocodile Dundee in its 5th week, The Color of Money in its 2nd week, and then for number 4 you got Peggy Sue Got Married in its 3rd week, Jumpin' Jack Flash, Tough Guys, the one with old Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas, Children of a Lesser God, Top Gun, 24 weeks along, still leading up the box office, Stand By Me, Deadly Friend. Fucking people are watching Deadly Friend over this. Bunch of assholes. And then The Name of the Rose in its 5th week. And after that, you get Blue Velvet in its 6th week. And, ooh, and Shanghai Surprise!
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, reported box office totals for that week in 1986. There's only 15, so From Beyond was towards the bottom. Sadly.
That is kind of sad.
Yeah. Not that Top Gun isn't awesome, but you might see another movie instead of seeing that for the 6th or 7th time. You know.
But most I remember when this was in video stores back in those days was that people used to confuse this From Beyond and The Beyond.
Which are both great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both big fucking Fulci beyond. Fan. Yeah. Yeah, well, this one had the really distinctive airbrush cover. You get Pretorius with his face, you know, melting into interdimensional being there. Like, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that you big stinger. Humans are such easy prey. And
yeah, see, yeah, it's no. Intriguing.
It but, burns itself into your mind's eye. Like, you walk past it, if you didn't even take it out, you were like, I've seen this, I'm walking by, I know what I'm looking at.
But movies like this, though, like back in the golden age of your VHS, like this was like the foundation of the later straight to video market, because you realize, like, you don't even need that whole theater thing, you just need a cool box.
Yeah,
be true.
So fucking awesome. Yeah, I remember that. Like the little tiny video store that we do over by the Ralphs. It was an independent one. It wasn't a Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or anything. And they had the whole horror wall there as you came in, and you'd see shit like Creepshow and Mutant. You'd be like, oh my god, this is gonna be the scariest shit ever. Find out later, it's like it was just really good box art.
Yeah. But you remember it.
Yeah. It's like that poster guy did his job. You know, everybody else, not so much.
Now it's all Photoshop.
Yeah. Now a mainstream movie poster is like, look, it's Mark Wahlberg's face, only it's really big. Oh, there's kind of a little something suggested in that corner, but mostly Mark Wahlberg's face. And they tossed on some texture.
This poster has gold and blue.
Yeah, isn't that a great
contrast.
I know what to feel now. Hans Zimmer, take me away.
Oh lordy.
Hear that, mainstream audiences? No, you don't. You're not listening.
Oh boy.
If Linda was here, she'd know stuff.
Yeah. Well, she's, I would say 6 feet under, but it's closer to 4 feet. But I love that you chose this film, because as soon as I heard we were doing it, I'm like, I don't really need to watch this movie, because it's only, I can tell you, I've seen it maybe 4 or 5 times. And even after the 3rd time and the 2nd time, it sticks with you. Everything in this movie, as kind of off the walls as it goes after the first 20 minutes of story and plot are done, and it's just a free-for-all after, you kind of don't forget what goes on there. And I did love the ending to this, kind of much in the same way as the Reanimator, but Reanimator had more of a fun ending. This one seemed like, yeah, this would feel very Lovecraftian, and just how madness completely consumed her by the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just after you witness the terror of the Resonator and heads getting eaten, just don't tell anybody what you saw. That's the lesson.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep on going. Like, what happened in there? It's like, oh, nothing. No, it's a
So just a little party. It's fine. Everything's fine. Little disagreement.
Don't tell people that there's flying purplish red snakes all around you and little tiny jellyfish.
But I mean, I did enjoy the fact that the resonator affecting the pineal gland, they're becoming addicted to it. So I like that it gives it a reason, like,
it's from a lot of changing us, like, why? And not for the better.
Right. Why would you go back and turn it on? And it's like, I seen it, Doc. Addicts say it. I know what they're doing. You do too. And it's like,
interdimensional over, junkies
over breakfast with just, you know, Bubba wanting to know loudly, how come I got a hard on when we turned that thing on?
As you ask.
Well, the man cuts straight to the point, so let's get to it.
Like, speaking of pineal gland.
Solid movie. Did either of you gentlemen, did you watch the unrated cut or did you watch the standard?
I rented it from Amazon, so it might have been.
No, that was the unrated.
Is that unrated? Okay. Oh, wait. No. I watched the R-rated 1 hour 25. Although I honestly think the one I watched on VHS. I think the one I watched on VHS originally may have been the unrated, though.
Gotcha. The differences are somewhat minimal. It's just a slight bit of more, as you guys like to say, nudity. But, you know, just a couple ended shots and some interesting angles. But other than that, like,
it's the MPAA. They just want you to cut frames. They just want you. They just want to know people are doing what they say.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Three thrusts. What is this, a porno?
The Hellraiser method.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Tipper Gore.
Yeah. I mean, at least, although, no, From Beyond never did make the Video Nasties list, did it not? I mean, they were sort of on the back end at that point.
No, I didn't check. Almost everything that was a notable horror movie at all in the 80s got Video Nasty status, it seems like.
Yeah, I know it was heavily edited overseas in Europe, but not to that extent. Because I actually had a review translated from French about that.
Yeah, no, I actually didn't read anything about this one having Video Nasty status, oddly enough, even though they seem to think that just like anything that came out of Italy, it's like, oh, that's going to make people go insane. They'll be murderers. It's like, maybe you just hate the Italians. Maybe that's it. You know, Margaret Thatcher hates the Irish. We'll start with I.
They definitely don't respect copyright law.
What's that?
It's a suggestion. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you want that, you just go to Turkey, though. You know, it's like, let's just put the movie in the background. You know,
Turkish Superman says it's A-okay.
Did you ever see the Turkish Star Trek?
No.
Yeah, they did their own riff on the original series.
Oh, wow.
There's nothing they wouldn't try, God bless them. And then there's that one where the evil Spider-Man is fighting Captain America.
Oh.
Yeah, what are you doing? You can't fit over here. But
on that one, I think in the opening scene, one of them like picks up a speedboat and like takes a woman's face off with a motor.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
It's gory as shit, and it's only about an hour long. It's everything you need and nothing you don't.
I'll have to look for that. That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. just Google Turkish Spider-Man. You'll find it.
Excellent.
See, and then there's that Australian parody Italian Spider-Man.
Oh, man. So.
Oh.
Well. Yes, Adrian.
I keep fading in and out. I think my situation's shorted here.
It's okay. I can tell you, it's not my cat who will not be dissuaded from moving across my keyboard here.
Oh, yeah, lift up your cat.
Okay. Come here. Oh, come here, fluffy butt.
Cat gonna get all see-through. Yep. See-through. It ate his head.
head.
Who opened the resonator again, damn it?
No. Interdimensional means, you know, magenta. That's how it works. You can't go interdimensional without magenta.
Hey, it worked in Color Out of Space.
Or as the critics of Color Out of Space said, it's all pinky purple. What the heck?
It's a shade of purple that's never existed in our world.
Apparently. I don't like it. Makes me feel like I went to mall. It makes me feel funny.
Speaking of feeling funny, I guess it's that time. Oh, gosh.
Why, Donnie, did you find any reviews for this movie?
I found the most helpful reviews this time.
Okay.
I'm really curious what people felt helped them to decide not to watch this movie.
I'm always a little disturbed by what people found helpful.
Oh, I actually chose this because I felt you would enjoy it. Because this person felt that they were not only a Class A reviewer, but also comedian of their group. Free warning, this is a dissertation.
Okay, go for it.
The chosen film for the crappy movie night this past Friday was this H.P. Lovecraft adaptation from the makers of Reanimator. There's a reason for that. Now, here's where I'm at a loss. Describing the plot. I wouldn't know where to start, so I'll break it up into little blurbs. Two scientists created a machine called the Resonator. Its desired effect and purpose is to stimulate the dormant pineal gland in the human brain, making possible to see the beyond, the external aesthetic offerings of a third dimension. Instead of the machine offering simple sight, however, its desired effect and purpose, it elongates the pineal gland into a freaky looking worm type thing that protrudes from the center of your head. Apparently, it's some kind of third eye. Another side effect, it causes sexual overload, madness, and possibly, it's never really stated, opens up a door to another place fittingly dubbed the Beyond. Convenient, isn't it? I don't think it was, but okay. Now, being a novice in the field of Lovecraft, I'm hesitant to make this observation, but here it goes. Lovecraft obviously has a simple-minded storyteller with tons of vivid imagery in his head, but with no skills of how to craft a story around them.
Aww.
If From Beyond
he is read any that indication, somewhere.
His mind gave him a picture of an insane otherworldly overlord created by this machine for reasons unknown. No explanation whatsoever is offered for what we are given. We're just supposed to accept it at face value.
I don't like accepting things.
Right? Well, sorry, but I have a hard time doing that when Earthworm Jim is sticking out of the Reanimator guy's forehead and peeking around. Talk to the worm because the face don't want to hear it anymore was a comment I uttered to our group during the viewing and got a huge laugh.
That's side splitting.
I mean, this guy is obviously a Seinfeld, so good on you, sir.
We're going to hear from that kid, and I don't mean a postcard.
Do you guys feel it?
We felt something it. Came You're in still, from oh, behind. You're no longer
on the ground dead. Hi. Welcome.
It's got its hair
It's coming!
So, what does the machine take over the entire essence of the first mad scientist, but not the second? Why does this machine do this? Don't know. How is it that the creatures seen while the machine is on can on... I'm sorry, I have to translate this because this person's English not so well. There is a surprising number of reviews like this on Amazon where their hands move faster than their brain.
People don't read what they write anymore. It's just a thing.
Yeah. How is it that the creatures seen while the machine is on can take on actual physical presence. They inflict injury and decapitate people. Yet they don't carry over into reality once the machine is off. Like Jeffrey Combs' third eye does later on. Question mark?
It's 13.
Is you yes. dumb? It's they say it all in the movie.
Right?
They just straight up tell you.
These are questions that director Stuart Gordon and producer Brian Yuzna, who directed the superb The Dentist, aren't interested in answering. They expect us to leave logic at the door and be taken along for the ride of this ludicrous story. Gore effects.
So this guy got to the end of Psycho and be like, so what happened with the mom? I don't get it.
Yeah. Where was the mom?
But he did make some funnies for the group home he lived in. So it was
that's right. Yeah.
He's really tearing it up in the rumpus.
Real room. Warm chuckle at that halfway house. Yeah.
Gore effects are enough to propel a Lucio Fulci film because that's what this film is all about. But this film actually tries to, right? But this film actually tries to involve us in a story fit for an audience of tards.
What?
And it packs in as gore
so
as
respectful
it can.
Too.
Sorry guys, but you can't have it both ways. Anyway, that's my little review of the film. Now imagine a room full of people who share my opinion watching this turd.
Rather not.
Shouting out comments, additional dialogue, and expletives to describe the innate characters. Even poor Ken Foree, who was such a strong presence in George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead as the black SWAT team member, got caught up in this dreck. Not only that, he got stuck with the same Bubba. If that's not a step down from one of the best dark comedies ever made, I don't know what is. Our little group of movie defecators were merciless to the celluloid, pelting every second of it with sarcastic comment. From my own lips, we heard, whore, and best y'all be eating my dumplings. It's a me, Mario.
He's really just going to try to take us to the greatest moment of his young life.
This is.
I ripped the shit out of it, you guys. I was a champion.
Oh my god! You guys should have been there. Was
screaming to hang out with me.
Allow me to quote me. Should...
It reminds me of a great quote I once said.
Lovecraft stories have a history of bad film adaptations. This one and another Usna-produced film, Necronomicon, being the most obvious examples. They should really learn to leave well enough alone.
This guy should watch some of those Lily Lamell ones.
Wasn't actually a Lovecraft film. It was John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness. Now, ain't that a slap in the face?
Well, it's nice to know that the Proud Boys get together and have these events. He's like film watching.
Hey, you can laugh, but this man had a room laughing riotously.
Oh. How do you like them biscuits?
Well, let this be a lesson to anybody out there writing some reviews. Just having seen a lot and dropping some names does not necessarily mean you have taste that's worth a shit.
No. Now, that review had about 10 people that thought it was helpful.
They were the 10 people watched the movie with him.
Yeah. The cocky fest that was.
He said it himself. Most, everybody in that room loved him.
The next most helpful review is I found this movie one time by YouTubing around, looking for similar films like Reanimator and other sci-fi horror films like Alien, Galaxy of Terror, and whatnot. So I found this title. I thought it was going to be, literally the number 2 and the letter B.
Oh, Prince wrote this.
But wow, was I wrong. The special effects are good, awful, and cheesy. Good, awful. That's not like movies like Alien or Independence Day, where the creatures were created using practical effects. But looked great. The production value of the set looked so freaking tacky and hokey One of the actors was from Dawn of the Dead, but he was nothing like the character in that movie. And avoid this garbage at all cost.
He might have a name. God. I don't know. Yeah. I used to be the same guy.
Maybe his name was Bulgers. I don't know. Now, I don't have to read this, but, and this is surprising still, the most helpful review on Amazon. No. One star with 45 people agreeing that this was helpful.
Whoa.
Was in French. And it doesn't even really pertain that much to the film other than this person's being disgusted with the crime and scam that was the release of this film.
Oh, we don't get to have like your fiance do a special reading for us.
No, my fiancé does not need to. I can read it as I translated it because I wanted to know how 45 people found this helpful, unless it was just everyone in fucking Europe that saw this and said, you know what? We agree. Oh,
God damn it. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Everything has been more or less said in the comments and customer reviews here and elsewhere. Mastered in 1080p. Censored version. Bonus. You said bonus? Frankly, you might as well leave nothing out and leave the field open to other French editors much more serious than with you, Sadonis. A shame, quite simply. And frankly, I have the big balls. I wait. For the age in VF to rent this, I had taken the UK Blu-ray like many in the meantime, and to know that From Beyond will go out in French Blu-ray, I was in heaven for a few days. But the dream turned into a real nightmare.
If I only had a nickel for every time I said, and frankly, I have big balls. Oh, big balls. To be frank.
The worst of this dream was all the lies before the official and commercial release of the title. Indeed, the publisher and certain magazine communicated the various press services and sites the information that the film would be released in 1080p for a duration of 86 minutes in a so-called European version. And anyway, no Blu-ray version to be released in the world before has been edited in a cut version. And as the VF exists on the 2007 DVD, we logically expected to have landed the version integral in VF without possibility anyway to see something else come out here. Big mistake. It is badly to know our dear French editor, Sadonis.
For the fuck listeners who are not familiar with French and the term VF, it means virginal fluids.
Moreover, the height of the scam, the Blu-ray jacket itself indicates a duration of 87 minutes. This film actually turns around 81 minutes for our censored French edition. And after the editor's Sadonis whine about piracy,
Sadonis!
Well, you are not surprised by dint of disgusting your customers that they turn to the solution. And the crowning glory in all of this is that precisely the 1080p uncut version plus VF was made by fans long before this official video release. Yes. Fans, Mr. TLM, with derisory means. We have succeeded in doing what a French pro editor cannot even come out and edit in video. What a joke. Personally, for me, it's over. I see a future Sadonis title to be released. I am now passing it directly.
I don't know if I just had a stroke or if you did.
Did. Your days are fucking numbered, Sadonis. You hear me?
Sadonis!
45 people found this helpful.
Of course, 45 people.
French people were pissed off about some kind of Blu-ray censorship, evidently.
Apparently, Sidonis is not welcome in that country.
Best fuck off across the Alsace-Lorraine, piece of shit.
I'm so confused.
Right? And it wasn't my bad English either. That's what's horrifying about this.
But I'm having the big boss.
Frankly.
Sidonis, he would die by my hand.
Sidonis, damn you and my big balls.
You have the big balls.
You could have just thrown in like old high school French instructions and it would have been about the same level. Like just ouvrez le livre à la page 36.
Sur la table.
A vous ça fout? Alpha ville?
Le poisson.
It's like meets up balls.
It has a certain I don't know what.
Je suis an ananas. Oh boy.
So weird that they're censoring shit. This is the country that gave us Irreversible.
Right?
Yeah.
Which really well, not only Irreversible, but Inside. Well,
yeah,
I mean
all of Gaspar Noé's movies. Yeah.
I was happy to see...
also gave us that fucker who did the Fifth Element, but you can't have everything. You know? Oh,
I like the Fifth Element. Whatever.
Yeah, it's because you're really milk toast. You and me with Joe Fitch.
The director. So
yeah, thank you.
I can't remember his name right now. Oh. Maybe it's because he doesn't matter.
Maybe you don't matter.
fuck you and me with Joe Fitch. You wrote in on.
No, I'm not a fan of Mila Jovovich. Let's get that straight.
She sucks.
But I do enjoy the movie. I mean, what's not to enjoy?
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, I like Luc Besson. Okay, it's just...
I'm not saying he never had his moments. I'm saying that on the whole, no. He just produced a bunch of crap to export to America, like Lockout. You know what I mean? Like... You know, like
the metal story over and over again.
Yeah.
Funding. I mean, time.
You know, La Femme Nikita, it's a good movie, you know. Yeah. And he produced some good things along the way, but then there's Lockout.
Yeah.
Lockout's not okay.
But it's a peacekeeping mission to a prison. Clearly, prisoners have that kind of political sway to change the course of an election.
I'm going to be dreaming of you, girly.
I was really happy to see all the connections to Full Moon with this movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Stuart Gordon and Brian Usner are kind of the cream of the whole Full Moon crop there.
And you get, like, Charles and Richard Dance involved. I mean, that made me happy.
Yeah.
Good times. But,
yep, the creators of Metalstorm, the destruction of Jared Sin.
It's a classic. So,
having come back from the dead, Linda, can you tell us if there was anything in the beyond that you saw?
Yeah, I was. I saw a bunch of haters saying, like, you know, I didn't like that Castaway movie because Tom Hanks wasn't Forrest Gump. He wasn't the same guy.
Like, is there a guy telling you, best y'all be eating my dumplings?
And we all laughed.
It was a sham that they called him Bubba, but now I'm going to make some Southern generalizations.
Oh! Well, I did realize watching the film that... two very important things. First of all, that apparently I have a thing for hairless reanimator being birthed. Herbert West. Yeah. Apparently that did something for me. And Bubba killing a shirtless, almost nude Bubba killing a monster. That was. I learned a lot about myself.
Is that all of Kent for me?
I learned I still have not stopped laughing inappropriately when Bubba dies, because it's just the most amazingly beautiful thing to see a skeleton that's not even sized to his body.
Yes.
Wiggling and jiggling on the ground with his actual
head. You don't know how big that's going to be until you get it stripped off the flesh. You know, who can say?
Yeah.
Just a little.
It's just flesh.
Just flesh.
I don't know how to make love. Perhaps you could teach me.
What are you going to do to me? I'm going to kiss you.
I know you can show me.
Oh, the five senses weren't enough for him. More. More.
Oh. It turns out that was Bruce Willis the whole time.
Oh, you never brought pleasure to him.
Anyone want to hear my harmonica? And you're like, no, no.
Sorry about really dumb.
It's a resonator. It'll play.
Right? Yeah. A fish is an animal that swims in a book.
God damn it. I watch everything with closed captions. And so I loved in the beginning, it says, resonator sounds. Gotcha.
That invites you to use your deaf imagination. Yeah.
Resonator sounds. Hey, got it.
I leave the captions on, but I get really upset sometimes because a lot of them were automatically generated, and so sometimes a word will become two different words. Sometimes people's names become three words. It's no quality control on that.
And that's what brings us to our last episode with Pan's Labyrinth, where Del Toro wanted to do all the captioning himself.
You can't blame him.
Can we actually call Bubba's meal dumplings? Because that seemed more like biscuits.
I thought that was rubber beans and biscuits.
That's what I thought too. Until you saw
I thought it was a bunch of cauliflower, but I wasn't there, so I don't know.
But I also will note that he did, in fact, eat three biscuits that he made, and everyone else got one.
It's very telling. Yeah, it's very deliberate, the plating. It was like he does it with such gusto and grace, and then the post-plating wafting to his nose. Yes. Is like, you just plated it up. Eat it, but don't sit there and just like...
Hey,
smug over your handiwork.
Like Ricky Nelson said, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
That's true.
Sometimes at the table.
It's the theme of the movie. It's all about the pleasing.
That's the reason for the season.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's pleasing.
Donnie, are you a mad scientist?
Uh-oh.
Or do you mean something of a doctor of some kind?
Like Dr. Herbert West? God damn it, Donnie.
Who's going to lead with this one?
I'll go.
Okay. Pray for the trailers into our hearts.
This is such a classic gothic tale. I figure for Dr. Tillinghast, I would cast Joseph Cotten. I figured Pretorius would be Orson Welles. I figure we get Agnes Moorehead for a babe psychologist. Get some Stanley Cortez photography on there, and maybe Delbert Mann for the director, so really shadowy and shit. Nothing would be magenta anymore though, because my version's black and white. Just saying.
I thought you were gonna say Delta Burke. I was like, fuck it, all right, I'm there. Let's do this.
Well,
thing.
She real old. Maybe she's there. You know, she was around in the 40s, being like, I'll be the babe.
The babe of the power.
I already talk like this, though. Take me to the Piggly Wiggly. That's Delta Burke. That's how she talks.
I believe.
All right, someone else.
I'll go.
Okay.
Dr. Lou Albano is up to no good as he works alongside the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, attempting to open a doorway between our world and the eighth sense dimension, the sense of wealth. But his plans soon find a knot in the power cord as the newly hired maid, Cindy Lauper, stumbles onto their scheming plans and alerts none other than the cream of the crop macho man, Randy Savage, American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, the Birdman, Coco Beware, and of course, the man second to Jesus himself, the American who bleeds yellow and red, carrying the mountain of power in his thighs, the one and only Hulk Hogan. With special appearances by Rowdy Roddy Piper as a dimensional jellyfish, Jake the Snake as a phasing serpent, and Bobby the Brain Heenan alongside the greatest evolution ever to exist in any realm, the narcissist Lex Luger, all starring in WWF's Beyond the Mat. See, it's Sunday at the Anaheim Convention Center.
Sunday.
Oh, my word.
Nice.
I like wrestling cartoons. I'm sorry.
You should be. I guess I'll volunteer as next tribute. Mine is, as usual, not nearly as well thought out as your guys's.
Does it have Muppets?
No, not this time. Actually, I'm just making it an origin story of one Dr. Harlene Quinn and Brainiac.
All right.
It fits.
I sit.
So I'm sitting.
Then Chris, sir.
All right. See, for me, I don't think this is a movie that technically needs to be remade, but if you were going to do a recast today, I would want them to really have some fun with it. Now, unfortunately, I have loaded this after I looked at the list I made with a bunch of Marvel people, which was unintentional, but I think it fits. So I'd want to have like James Gunn directing with his trauma past and really doubling down. Good rubbery practical effects still
works for me.
I
would like to have Tillinghast played by Tom Hiddleston doing a real slow breakdown. I would like Michaels to be replaced with Christina Hendricks because you have the whole boom truculus side of things, and I think she'd be game to play and really have fun as a scream queen because we've seen her do a bunch of serious stuff. I know this might seem pandering and playing to this crowd, but you have Ted Sorrell in the original. Who's going to out-crazy him? Nicolas Cage. Bring on Dr. Pretorius as Nick Cage. Because then the whole, you know, face melting off with touch, having him grope various people.
A literal face waterfall.
For me, it was like an homage to At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul. I always wanted to do a picture like that. It's just another Tuesday.
This is just assuming he doesn't play Dr. Pretorius all the time. I mean, his everyday life.
Or you go through all of it and there's like no Pretorius. He's just the janitor who wandered in and it just happens. Yeah. He's just some really kinky guy who's there. But now
He's got a mullet. He's a trucker.
Over by IKEA to set up the sex dungeon.
You'll be screaming later.
You're going to need more rebar to hang this thing.
Did I mention I'm a veteran?
Oh, what's this switch do?
And then that being said, you have to have somebody come in to play the Bubba role. I'd plug in, like, who's young and can do it. If Anthony Mackie can start, like, doing his pain and gain, like, whole, you know, rep sets of bulking himself back up again, I think he'd be a fun Bubba, and then you can really go to town. So, again, doesn't need to happen, but I'd be happy to see that. I'd pay money for that.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I mean, just seeing what James Gunn did with the latest Suicide Squad. I mean, Jesus, he brought it back and he actually, like, I mean, as a fan of the comics, it's like, damn, he actually made it something I can enjoy watching and I don't have to be ashamed of watching.
True.
Good times. And I mean, it's fucking James Gunn.
Unlike all those tapes behind you.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
From Beyond.
It's From Beyond. I even see the name in the title right in there.
We already discussed it at length, and we went over every inch of it we could. But I know that we would be remiss, Linda, if you did not talk about Bubba and his commanding on-screen presence before we wrap up.
I mean, what's there to talk about? I loved him. I was here for him.
Oh, you can find us.
I mean, even if the movie was total crap and, you know, and the acting was shitty, but with this cast, you know, especially Barbara Crampton, you're not going to get shitty acting. But I mean, if that were so, it's still enjoyable as hell because of Bubba. That's how I feel, at least. But I was wondering, it seems that they obviously have somebody come in to replace their windows once a day because they're always breaking.
That creating a disturbance again.
I'm disturbed.
What the hell are you people doing here every night?
Luckily, their windows are only 6 by 12 inches, so they could just kind of pop one in there.
Like, you guys have a sex dungeon. Do your kinky shit in there.
Living behind a cornfield here in this residential neighborhood? Don't understand you at all.
Well, I really liked it in the beginning when Jeffrey Combs, like, rushes past her and just kind of puts her to the side and he's running down the stairs. And I was like, yes, I'm here for that.
He's going to savage me.
That woman's poor dog.
Bunny.
Dog Bunny, yeah, who's looking at Pretorius's twisted off head.
Like a gingerbread man.
People are like Tootsie Rolls, you know, you just kind of twist it off, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is another one of those movies where I'm really, really glad that you chose it because I think I watched it with Donnie when I was much younger because parts of it I was remembering. But it was one of those ones where I always wanted, like I saw the box art and I really wanted to see it. And I was like, what's that all about? But yeah, it was an enjoyable rewatch. Oh, Steph. Thank you for adding that.
You know, the brain sucking really says so much about the human condition.
Ditto.
Donnie, it's freaking deep.
So please listen, follow, rate, and
well, people got to vote, too. Remember, they got to get onto Twitter. Anymore.
Let us know on Twitter what film they felt was their recommendation of ours. What of our recommendations they would pick.
So this was 4 of 4.
Yeah. So please listen, follow, rate, and review Videorama on Apple Podcasts, especially because it helps other people find us. And it will earn you an on-air shout out. Also check out our stuff on YouTube and where you can see our pretty faces. Check us out at Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod. And talking about the on-air shout out, I would like to take a moment to apologize to Chris, to Chris's wife, to my husband, and my children, Shanks and Rolfus and Rolfus. Because I think it's in our last episode, I was giving you a shout out for giving us a great review. And then I believe I referred to you as Sexalicious. So I'm not taking any questions at this time. I would just like to focus on building my relationships back with my family.
Fair enough.
Getting right with God. I must have
been in the bathroom at the time.
Remember, I could answer to it if called, but thank you. Regardless, thank you.
I was just so happy we finally got a shout out to give. I got a little too excited.
Did you pee yourself?
Was that just locker room talk there, Linda?
Well, last time I did pee myself.
You got to go back and watch
the wrong kind of listeners on that Pan's Labyrinth episode.
I was coughing so hard, I couldn't help it.
No, you're not, Linda.
It's a good thing we're not on Twitch. We'd be banned right now.
Oh, my God. You can also find us on fans only or OnlyFans. Oh,
I thought they neutered that one. They took away all the swimming pool and pee.
Yeah.
Well, Chris has his sewer bros picture, right?
It's true. I think we established the sewer bros for life pose-a-thon, which various monthly tiers would have you being, you know, raccoon adjacent or possibly float some trash. And then, of course, it would just be some specialty shots that, you know, for a small monthly fee, you could see Chris doing a little more than just posing. But again, for those Simon King of the Witches fans out there.
So. That was still my favorite episode recording of Bedknobs and Broomflicks was the Simon King of the Witches episode we did with Chris.
It yeah, was you're very, welcome. Fun.
Well, yeah, that was one where you, Adrian, you recommended it and yeah, Chris recommended it. Yeah,
because I've seen it on YouTube, and I'm like, oh man, this thing's witchy as shit.
But yeah, that's how I knew like you guys were going to hit it off. I was like, okay, Chris knows his shit. And like you guys both recommended this really obscure movie, which I loved watching, by the way. It was a lot of fun. But remember you can find Videorama on Twitter and other places, mostly Twitter, or I'm going to be honest. Frankly, I have big balls. At Videorama P, and that's the letter P for podcast. You can visit our website at videoramapod.com, and you can write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. If you visit our Twitter account at Videorama P, you can take part in that poll that Donnie and Adrian were talking about for your favorite recommendation this month. Having been Reality is the Nightmare. Check out my other podcast about witches in history and stories of all Muja, Bedknobs and Broomflicks. You know it's enjoyable because we got licks at the end. Nah. Adrian, where can the people find you?
Oh, I'm around. I'm still lurking on the DeviantArt as Leo the Fox, LEOTHEFOX, all run together, all lowercase, all one word. You could be checking out my 3,000 artworks and stories and chapters and various sundries and things. And you could go look at my YouTube under A.A. Smith, where I got me them cartoons and me complaining about books that are 200 years old that you never read. And on the Patreon as Leo the Fox, you need to come on there and give me some dollar a dues because there's stuff there you just ain't going to see elsewhere.
It's good quality stuff.
It's some stuff, yeah.
You talk about Blue Skin, or is that like a sequel to Foreskin?
Can you see that behind me there? Yeah.
Yes.
that's an Edward Viles Penny Dreadful from the 1860s. He was the creator of Black Bess or A Night of the Road, A Tale of the Good Old Times. Oh. He would take stories of highwaymen from the early 18th century who really were around and got hanged. And by the 19th century, people were like, that was a long time ago and I'm not scared of them anymore. They're heroes. And so people like Jack Shepard and Blueskin there all of a sudden is like, hey, these guys are awesome. They had pluck. Oh, and they were so English. They were so English. It's insane. I know. Not just the little English, y'all. They had that English brand pluck. I know, right? This is the kind of stuff that George Orwell complained about quite a bit because it was pathetically nationalist. But it's fun.
Donwald?
I am the Unreal Goals over on the Twitter as well as on the YouTube, where I'm doing things and coming up with scheming of things because October or Spoopytober is coming up. I also do reviews on Cage's Kiss, which you should check out. I also am still Gar the Twi'lek on Instagram.
Sounds about right.
And I'm your local trash panda hanging out at St. Vinny's. So, yeah, leave me your video cassettes and no one gets hurt.
And Chris, our brother from another mother.
Thank you, guys. Well, I saw it on Linden Street. We're dedicated to the joy of finding an appreciation in cult films, exploitation oddities, beloved classics, and all points in between. We're a one-man show, but it's a royal we because it's me and the two LSCE dachshunds who you often hear shaking themselves around behind me. We keep our releases to Mondays, and we attempt to keep things fun with monthly themes. Example, September's wrapping up. We've been doing Acceptable in the 80s. Which has been our fun, weird things that we feel would only pop up in that select decade. So we had The Beast, Megaforce, Red Dawn, and
Wolverines!
Megaforce, yeah. So, and then
despite official denial.
Or as my wife always gets it backwards, so she'll say words, not deeds, and I have to be like, no, hon, no.
No, no, the way the movie's structured kind of really is words, not deeds, but that's okay.
But
it's like
we
it's
also
like
had
a G.I. Joe cartoon, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, most definitely. With lots more spandex and rocket bikes. But we had a special guest, Dr. Chance T. Worm, joined us to sit down and talk about Raw Force, which is another fun one. And then October coming up, we're going to have our theme is Tastes Like Chicken, and it's our salute to a month of cannibal films. So
hopefully
people might want to come and join us there. You can check us out. Our website is lscep.com. Our email is LindenStreetCinemaExperience@gmail.com, and you can find us at LSCEP on the Twitter and LSCE_podcast on Instagram. See, I screwed all this up the last time, so I was prepared, like I was going to do it. Because last time I was like, what is my email? Do I have a show? Where am I? So this has been a lot more fun and free-flowing. So after all you guys, thank you. This has been a blast.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, like, bugging these guys for the longest time. I was like, we need to have him on. He is the fourth Cage.
I'm down to play anytime you guys want. This is a blast and has been a lot of fun. And I feel I'm in excellent company because you guys have had excellent people on thus far. And, hey, I mean, you're slumming as far as I'm concerned with me. So this has been great.
So you wish to play with us.
Do you want to play a game? And it's just like, do I? Sure, yeah.
You open the box.
You play a good game, boy, but the game is finished.
Jigsaw, you blew it all sky high. Oh. Letting me your mind.
Deep cut. Beautiful.
Next week, Adrian will be starting us off, right? Yeah. Yeah, Adrian's going to be starting us off next week.
With a new topic.
No.
Oh, my God. No. Yes. I don't know what's happening next week.
I am.
Okay.
What
topic is it?
That's to be decided.
Yeah.
We have to consult with the elder.
Either way, next week we're going to be opening a new month with a new topic, new theme. And until then, death to Videorama, long live the new flesh.
And the balcony is closed.
You know, I'm glad it's that instead of repeating my goddamn line of I shot a kid. Yeah, that gem didn't last or anything.
No, it's Donnie shot a kid.
Yeah, there's a reason that nobody follows the career of Stephen E. D'Souza. Just saying.
Trailer to your heart. Peace out.
Dance without rhythm. Oh, Lord. All right.
Linda Pete herself, everybody.
God damn it.
That's a tagline.
I had bronchitis. I was laughing and coughing so hard. Stop judging me.
Who judged you? Statement of fact.
God damn it. Yeah.